from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I think the great question counter yesterday and today is 1-0 for you, right?
Let's go, yeah.
You kind of on a bit of a roll, even against Mark Willard, too.
Three of the last four went to the Denver.
There you go.
Yeah.
The
good Dr. Brian Feely coming up here in an hour.
Ooh. Which, I got to start thinking of questions to make sure I get a great question and not you.
Yeah. And that's, they're on the payroll, so to speak, so I don't know if those actually count. Willard always tries to discount them when they go my way.
Of course.
And when he gets one, it's a complete exultation. Sensation is what that is. So we'll keep it rolling. We'll see if we can't get some good questions in there.
Yeah, Doc Feely coming up, cleared to play in about an hour here on 95.7 The Game. We'll ask him about the host of injuries the Niners are dealing with at training camp. The Niners are obviously dealing with, they're kind of fighting a multi-front war right now, Dibs, because you've got the Brandon Ayuk situation, you've got the Trent Williams situation, but then you've also got the fact that they just canceled their inter-squad scrimmage practices, joint practices with the New Orleans Saints, because they're scared that they don't have enough players to field a full squad to do, first team versus first team, second team versus second team, and third team versus third team. And if they get a couple more injuries through a rough practice week, then what is the regular season going to look like? So the Niners have a lot of issues that they're sorting through right now, and we'll get a little bit of information on one of those issues, the general injury issue, the injury bug going through the Niners in preseason. We'll talk with the Doc Feely about that coming up in just about an hour. But we're focused on this Ayuk situation because the news of the day, according to Ian Rappaport, is the Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract, sources say. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal for him to stay, but he hasn't yet accepted. We have both interpreted this, Dibs, in a slightly different ways. One of the reasons I believe that Brandon Ayuk is just bluffing and he has no interest in going to the Pittsburgh Steelers and ultimately will sign that offer sheet with the 49ers is because of what Diana Rossini had to say earlier today on her podcast, Scoop City, the Scoop City podcast with Chase Daniel via The Athletic. She had this to say about Brandon Ayuk's offseason and his wishes, which haven't always been consistent. Here's Diana Rossini.
From what I was told, the player hasn't really been easy to work with in terms of what he wants, which I don't think is breaking news there, right? Because he seems to be a little bit all over the place. I want to be in San Francisco. I really want to play here, but no, I actually want to play for Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
He's clearly talking about Brandon Ayuk there.
The player.
And the player.
I like it.
Is referencing to Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
And she essentially says, Ayuk has kind of gone back and forth. He's flip-flopped. That time she's heard he wants to go to Pittsburgh and play for Mike Tomlin. Other times she's heard he wants to stay with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers in Santa Clara and be a 49er and sign that contract. Are we so sure that Brandon Ayuk is just so dead set on joining the Pittsburgh Steelers? Dana Rossini seems to make it seem, Dibs, as if that's not the case. That maybe he's wavering and doesn't quite know exactly what he wants.
Of course he's wavering, because he's been wavering this whole time. And I do think that there was a sense of what TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, had told us before, which is two things. He just wants to get paid, and he wants to be a 49er. So those two things together means, of course, he wants to be a 49er, but he wants to get paid. And as you go through the process, and New England came forward and offered him more than anybody else reportedly has offered him, and he said no to New England, well, that tells you that he just wants to get paid is not priority number one. Maybe priority number one is he wants to be a 49er, which would tell me that if this happens the way it's happened today, with Ian Rappaport saying the Niners have a trade in place with Pittsburgh, but they also have a contract out to Ayuk, all he has to do is decide. If Ayuk wants to be a Niner more than he wants to get paid, then he signs that deal and he stays a 49er. But maybe it becomes a thing about ego now where, you know, we know that Parag Marate in the front office of the Niners wants to win the deal. I'm sure Ayuk also wants to kind of feel like he's won the deal. And if the offer is still at $26 million, which it's been for 3 or 4 months, and you sign that deal as Ayuk, well then, what have you been doing for these past 3 or 4 months? You end up, you know, tucking tail and coming back to the Niners, and I know it's a nice tail tuck, and I'd love to tuck the tail for $26 million, but you get the point about going back into that locker room where his teammates would be looking at him going, well, I mean, where you been? You did all that for nothing. You did all that. You held in and you demanded a trade or requested a trade. You did all these things and you wound up with not one extra dollar. That makes him look a little bit, I don't know, weak, but it makes him look like he lost the deal.
Yeah, maybe at a certain point we could have the conversation about, I don't know if this is on any one person in particular or if it's just the way that the Niners front office culture has developed. And I think kind of the poster boy for this is Parag Marate, because he is the guy in charge of the money, and obviously he's in on the contract negotiations. It's not like he's the only one there negotiating. But you got to ask the question, Dibs, at a certain point, like say ultimately Ayuk caves and he signs the $26 million per year offer from the 49ers, but maybe even then there's a chance that, as you're saying, he might not be doing that with a smile on his face, and maybe he holds a little bit of residual anger and frustration as he enters his future with the 49ers. And at a certain point you might have to ask, 49ers, is everything that you've been through, everything that you've done to try to win the negotiation and get Ayuk in here for $26 million per year, is all of that worth, first of all, the trouble that the last few months have put you through? And is it also worth maybe any future frustration that it might cause? And is it worth, I don't know, the league-wide perception of how the Niners do business? Is all of that worth it for saving a couple of million bucks a year?
It doesn't seem like it, and especially if it ends up affecting the way you go about doing things with other free agents, and they look at how you treated Brandon Ayuk, and if you drag him through all this, and if you're another free agent and you see Brandon Ayuk, a homegrown player who wanted to be here, and eventually he has to settle for $26 million, and he's not happy about it. I don't know if the optics of that are good for your future courting of other free agents. If the word out there is that you kind of grinded Brandon Ayuk over $2 million a year, and he's not happy about it, and that word gets out, that might affect you in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have a poll that we put up on our Twitter page. Shout out to our director of sports, Lucas Alexander, at 957 The Game on Twitter, if you want to check it out. Who do you blame for Brandon Ayuk not being in camp, as we are less than 4 weeks away from the 49ers' first game? We're approaching 250 total votes. It is essentially split 50-50, Dibs. 51% blame Brandon Ayuk, 49% blame the 49ers. Nearly 250 votes in, and it is split basically right down the middle. And in fact, the first reply to the tweet is, we need another option for both.
Right.
And I think that would be taking the cake if that was an option. There's certainly blame to go around on both sides. But then generally, when that's the case, Dibs, I think this might be the point you're getting to. Maybe that calls for a simple compromise. Ayuk wants 28. The Niners want 26. Maybe Niners, you beef up your offer just a little tiny bit. Don't quite get up to where Ayuk is sitting, but maybe you make a concession just a little bit so that Ayuk can maybe sign that contract offer with a little bit of a smile on his face and make him feel like his efforts at least were rewarded by an extra million or so per year.
Right, but if you're Parag Marate in the front office for the 49ers, it's not what you do. You have a number that you are willing to settle for, and that's what you do. And if you offered 26 back in March, and I don't know this to be the case, but it feels like by reading the tea leaves that there was an offer in place back in March, and Ayuk and the team were both close to agreeing on it. He reportedly had his suit pressed and ready.
He said that as much on the Pivot podcast.
Right, so he's going to show up here, and we're going to do this back in March, and this is not going to be a thing that drags all summer long. And then that number changed because all those other offers came in. All those other deals got done, Devontae Smith and Waddle and all the rest of them. And so now Brandon Ayuk is thinking, man, 26 is, that's not enough. I'm worth 28 and a half or 29 or maybe even more. And New England turns out they were willing to give him a reported 32 if he would accept a trade to them. So Brandon's now thinking, I can't possibly do 26. And so here we are on August 13th, and we've gotten to a point where it's ultimatum time. And the Niners are saying, sign or, you know, we're going to trade you. And that's where now he has a choice to make because it doesn't feel like the Niners are willing to do, all right, Brandon, let's just meet at 27 after all. I could be wrong, but it feels like this news today from Ian Rappaport is the Niners are saying, this is our last best offer. This is it. This is the offer. August 13th, we're getting ready for New Orleans coming here on Sunday, and then we got a trip to Vegas, and then it's the regular year.
Let's go, time.
Enough of this. No more of this. Either you take our 26, or we trade you to Pittsburgh, and we move on.
Yeah, there's...
It feels like the time for negotiation is past.
Yeah, and it's something that Rappaport said. There's, what, dual paths? There's a couple of different paths here. I think for the 49ers, how do you kind of have dual motivation? First of all, you want Ayuk here. You want Ayuk here at your number. And obviously, we don't know exactly what the ramifications would be, but if they just sign Ayuk to $28 million a year instead of the 26 that they're reportedly offering, maybe that means you can't re-sign D'Amador Lenore in the future. Maybe it means that you're going to have to say goodbye to Mooney Ward. Maybe you're saying goodbye to Mooney Ward anyway. Who knows? That's certainly possible. We don't know exactly what the ramifications are. I would imagine because the 49ers are being so steadfast in their negotiation, or really lack thereof, that there are very, very real reasons why they are controlling this negotiation the way that they are. They're not doing it to try to spite Brandon Ayuk. They're doing it because they think it's what's best for the organization. You might disagree with what's best for the organization, but I guarantee you that is their motivation. I also think what comes into play here, Dibs, is the way the Nick Bosa situation worked out last year. Nick Bosa won that negotiation. Absolutely. And by all accounts, he's really the only Niner player of this era to have won the negotiation. It maybe feels similar from the outside, and maybe you think that Brandon Ayuk is winning this negotiation, but if the 49ers, Dibs, haven't yet upped their offer...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To match what Brandon Ayuk is asking for at this point, and considering how much of this has been negotiated out in public, I find it hard to believe they will ever go up to 28. They would sooner trade him. Maybe that's a mistake, but it seems like that is the reality. I think that this negotiation coming on the heels of last year's negotiation where Bosa took the Niners to the woodshed and beat them, that might be having an impact on this as well, because it limits the 49ers' flexibility on this one, and you also don't want to set the precedent where your players just play hardball under contract and they can get whatever they want.
Good point about precedent. I do think that that's part of it. Where, you know, if you cave on this one, well, now you have a situation
Lenore,
where
a year from now, we'll do the same thing.
Right. Other players are going to want to come at you and say, well, you did it for Ayuk. And, you know, Bosa is totally separate, much like Justin Jefferson in the wide receiver market. Yeah. Nick Bosa is not a negotiation, I think, that you can look at as a comp, because he is the best in football, or one of the two or three best in football at his position. And his position is maybe the second most important in football behind quarterback. We could argue left tackle, but outside
certainly
of that,
more than wide receiver.
Absolutely, yeah. More than wide receiver, no doubt. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk might be your second most important wide receiver, and they just drafted your possible replacement. So all those things lead into this. And I do think, and I wonder if we'll ever find out about how the negotiation went, because it does feel to me like Brandon Ayuk's ask, what he was asking for, changed between the beginning of the offseason and the middle of the negotiation where all those other contracts came through. And I'm not saying that that's not fair that he changed his number, because, you know, we talked to TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, and he made a good analogy about home prices. You know, if you go to buy a house in March and it's 1.3 and you say, oh, well, we're not sure, and you go back in June and that same house is now 1.6, well, the house is worth 1.6 now. And that's just the way that goes. That's the cost of doing business, and that's the way the market forces go. And it's kind of the same thing with wide receiver, and I get that. But if you're the Niners brass and you felt like you were really close to a deal back in March, and then you get to April and May, and now you're not so close because his number has changed, I could see where they'd be pissed off.
Yeah, and now maybe you get to a point where you're just so over the distraction of this all.
Right.
And that's
right.
Something that Brian Baldinger was talking about earlier today on the Morning Roast. And I think I got lost in a point I was trying to make, but it's kind of the dual motivation for the 49ers with what they're doing right now. And again, if you're just joining us, Ian Rappaport earlier today reporting that the 49ers and Steelers have essentially agreed on the parameters of a Brandon Ayuk trade, meaning the 49ers, according to reports, have agreed to what the return would be from Pittsburgh. We don't know what that return would be. We could speculate all we want. Dibs is thinking maybe there's a starting guard offensive lineman that could be coming back that would certainly fill a need for the 49ers, but we do not know that for sure. But in addition to trying or holding, you know, steady at your offer of $26 million and hoping to get Ayuk there at that number, the other half of this negotiation and the other half of this news today, Dibs, is maybe the 49ers sending a signal that even if we don't get Ayuk back, we just want this thing over with because we've been dealing with these questions for this entire offseason. We are now officially less than 4 weeks away from game number one of the regular season, and this is the only thing that we're talking about. We have an injured wide receiver room. We don't know if Ayuk's going to play for us week one. Maybe they have a feeling he will. Maybe they're not sure. Who knows? But you don't know for sure 100% no matter what. We might be at a point where at the very least, Ayuk's tactics are working to the point that the Niners are just set on figuring out an answer, even if the answer isn't the one they were originally searching for in the first place.
And I get that, and it makes sense with 27 days to go now until the opener, and you've got a lot more issues than just the Brandon Ayuk contract. You've got Trent Williams, who still is holding out, and you've got more than two dozen players who are injured, and we'll get into some of that with Dr. Brian Feely coming up cleared to play at 4 o'clock, but you've got issues right now. So many injuries that you had to cancel joint practices with New Orleans. So it's not as simple as, well, we get Brandon done and we're ready to go. You've got Trent Williams to deal with, and you've got all these other players who are either freshly hurt or hurt from last year. And so you're trying to figure out all of your roster, and you're trying to figure out who your 53-man roster is going to be when you break camp. And that has to be decided now in about 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks, you got to get down to your final cutdown. So either Brandon's a part of that or he's not. And if he's not, do you have a player coming back? And I'm just spitballing on possible compensation. And I just looked at Isaac Seumalo, who is an interior guard. I think he plays right guard for Pittsburgh. He's a player who has done pretty well for them. And they have another guard that they just drafted this last year that they could probably slot into their offensive line. If you're the Niners, you're not going to do this trade without at least a player coming back. And I don't think that you're going to get one of their wide receivers. I don't think you're going to be able to get George Pickens. And other than that, you probably don't want anybody else. Van Jefferson, he won't start for you. And the rest of their receiving core is probably not good enough to acquire. Ideally, if you're going to trade with Pittsburgh, you'd get TJ Watt. You're not getting him. You'd get Minka Fitzpatrick. You're Please. Not getting him. So if you want to think about what you actually might be able to get, I looked at James Daniels, who's the right guard, and I looked at Seumalo, who's the left guard. And those, to me, feel like spots where the Niners could get an upgrade, get another body in. They've got injuries in their interior offensive line already. So that, for me, feels like a player you might get back. Not sexy, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, fans are going to run out and get a 73 Seumalo jersey, but he's at least a player you could grab and put into your lineup, and maybe you could offset some losses you already have.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, their current fullback, the only fullback on the roster, Jack Coletto, who was a 49er practice squad player last year, undrafted out of Oregon State, played like every position on offense you possibly could at Oregon State. Niners really liked him, but he got picked off their practice squad by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just throwing out a name, not that that would be the basis of a return for Ayuk,
right.
But it is a name that I recognize as a former 49er and as a player the 49ers did like. I think the other thing that is interesting, and I was kind of sorting through, there's so many twists and turns this Ayuk conversation has taken over the course of the last 6 months, but even specifically recently. You remember what happened last Friday. Last Friday, it was Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofalo, both of the NFL Network, both who are very plugged in and have been all over this story, although I think they've kind of been misled a little bit at times. But on Friday, they both reported, the 49ers have made a renewed effort in recent days to strike a long-term deal with wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. The situation is fluid, and other teams, including Pittsburgh, are still in the mix, but a return to San Francisco appears increasingly possible. That was last Friday, Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofalo. And then if you remember, after we were all, discussing the positive developments and how it looks like an extension between the Niners and Ayuk is in the cards, and we might get this news today. We're going to find out. And then Ayuk Dibs kind of poured cold water on the entire situation by taking to Instagram and responding to that report. Yeah. And he wrote, quote, "Niners be in the media every day, LOL. It's two options out there. Pick one and stop dropping reports. Simple." It seems like the Niners Dibs have responded to Brandon Ayuk Ayuk by saying, it's not us making the choice, Brandon, it's you. The ball is in your court. You have two choices. 28 with Pittsburgh, 26 with us. We're waiting on you, big guy. Make a choice. The Niners have seemingly responded to Ayuk's response to them, and they've handed him the Uno reverse card. No, 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 not so fast.
Totally.
This is up to you.
That's great. Maybe even a draw two, which is second only to the draw four.
I hate the draw four.
It's pretty funny that you mentioned that, because my daughter, who's almost two, has a children's book in which some of the characters are playing Uno. And so I've tried to explain to her that this is Uno, and she's not ready for card games, but it is the reverse card that they've played, because he said, yeah, you got one of two choices. And they said, okay, here's your choice. It's Pittsburgh. And so they've done the work to get the Pittsburgh thing. And, you know, we talked to Andrew Filippone. Each show's had him on at least twice. And he's talked
like
for
it.
3 weeks about this deal being at the goal line. And you know what? It's probably been at the goal line. And here we are. Either Brandon Ayuk is going to go QB sneak and get in, or he's just going to take a knee and say, no, I want to be a Niner. But it does feel like they played the reverse card and the ball is in his court. If they have a deal in place with Pittsburgh and Brandon Ayuk has the opportunity to get a deal done with Pittsburgh, and I believe that that's also been done, or at least that's been close to being a done deal, what are you going to do, Brandon? Like Mark always says, Mark Willard, all right, hot shot from Top Gun. What are you going to do? Hot shot?
Hot shot.
It's up to you now, right?
What does
do you want to
like
do?
It.
Do you want to take the Pittsburgh money and be a Steelers, or do you want to come back home and take our final best offer, which feels to me...
Also like their first and only offer.
Exactly. It feels like their last best offer is the same offer that's been on the table for a long time. And so what do you do, Brandon? Because it feels like if I'm Brandon, thinking only about ego, if I come back to the Niners and take that offer, that's an L. And it feels like, what have I been doing for the past 3 months? I've been out there, you know, trying to get traded and turning down deals and this and that and TikTok and all the rest of it. All for what? So you could be a Niner anyway? That feels like you're taking the L. Or you could take the W, you requested a trade, and now you're a Steeler. That's a W. You get more money, but is it really a W? If you're on a team that goes, you know, 8-8-1, and you know you miss out on the playoffs for four straight years, and you're a Steeler, and your numbers go down because you got Russell Wilson running around, and you got Justin Fields not throwing you the ball. So it might be a W on signing, but eventually it might be an L.
Yeah, and I think the Niners are calling Ayuk's bluff that Ayuk feels like going to Pittsburgh would actually be an L and not a W. I think that's what the Niners believe. We'll see ultimately what Ayuk believes. I firmly believe that the ball is in Ayuk's court, and he's got to make a decision one way or another. And the Niners, at this point, they've washed their hands of the situation. Whatever Ayuk decides, they're going to go with it. It does feel like we're at that point. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we'll get into this more. Also, a couple of things that Brian Baldinger said earlier today on the Morning Roast. You're not going to want to miss that. Maybe it gives us some insight into the 49ers' position and why they are okay washing their hands of this situation. That's coming up on the other side as Willard and Dibs continues. We're sponsored by Lucky California. More on the other side next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.